The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 11 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Our guest today in the studio is Clark Brock. He has many, many hats in the area, but the one we're talking about today is the Huron Community Fair Board.
Absolutely.
We have something coming up next week, I think.
A little project coming next week, Huron Community Fair, 144th annual fair at the fairgrounds in Bad Axe.
It's changed through the years, but it's still there.
It's still there. Bigger and better, but not a lot of difference.
Because you're bringing back the favorites and trying to add new ones, future
sure.
favorites.
Absolutely. Always bring back the favorites. Of course, the biggest favorites, we'll have the truck and tractor pulls on Friday and Saturday. That's pretty much a staple. We try not to change that too much, but we try to add other new things every year, too.
But you look at, you know, what's available as far as who's putting it on so that you find a better one.
Sure.
Through the years you've done all this.
Absolutely. We make the treks. We have our annual convention that we go to and find out what acts or what types of things are available there. And, of course, we have businesses out there that contact us saying, consider our show.
And then you just have to see if you got a spot and a time frame to put them in.
A spot and a time frame, and can we afford to do that? Is it going to help make a dollar or bring people to the fairgrounds? We're trying to provide things that people of the county or people of the surrounding area would like to come and see.
When you talk about make a dollar, is that kind of a more quasi thing than people might think? Because if the program itself isn't necessarily like a break even, you're bringing people to the fair, they buy the Gibby fries, they do all this other kind of stuff, and that also helps with your bottom lines.
Sure. Our bottom line is people through the gate. We need people on the grounds. Of course, we'd love to fill the grandstands with every single event that we have there and have a chance to make a few dollars that way, but we're not about making big money down there at all. We hope that at the end of the year we made a dollar through the year so that we can afford to start back up and run things next year. Of course, a few dollars means we make a few improvements, but we're not about how do we make big money. We're about how do we make sure we break even, make a dollar or two here or there, and provide good entertainment for the community. And, of course, bottom line is wonderful experience for the kids of the county. That's what we're all about.
Because people don't think about it when they go through the gates, but you have to maintain those buildings. Those buildings have to sometimes be painted or fixed or you know, kept up in a safe condition.
Yeah, my bookkeeper tells me that we're an unusual organization in that we have no fixed income. There is no fixed income for a fairgrounds. It's who shows up through the gate, who makes donations to things, who helps contribute things, and it costs us about $50,000 to open the gates. So when you look at it from that aspect, and that doesn't, you know, I'm not counting everything else that goes on. I'm telling you just to open the gates, it costs us that much. So we have to have people through the gates. We have to have things happen, or we can't afford to operate.
And you also book other things in there throughout the year when you can to try and
We try to be community friendly, and you know, a little storage down there in the winter, and a couple other activities that go on during the year. We'd love to have more activities throughout the year that are not just the fair, but whatever we can to help provide activities for the community.
Because it's a very nice big spot of land with a lot of nice buildings. It's, you know, you hate to see it just used 1 week a year.
Beautiful place that we'd like to see activities going on a regular basis. And the local horse association does come in, and we provide them throughout the summer months an opportunity for those kids to use the fairgrounds and have horse shows and that kind of thing going on.
I've heard people say that you have very good facility for horses around there.
So. We feel we have one of the best facilities in the state for whatever's going on there.
There you go. Now, the fair starts next week, but it really kicks off a little pre-tradition, which is the Indian Trails Riding Club on Sunday again.
You betcha. The we're back, and they were there last year, and they're back again this year. The Indian Trails Riding Club Rodeo on Sunday. The livestock and things will be moving in. We're not really open for business for people to come to or through the fairgrounds very much on Sunday, but the Indian Trails will be there on Sunday with their rodeo. And the neat thing about that is that's all local people that are participating in that get a chance to come out and see some of those local cowboys and cowgirls have fun on the horses and put on a show.
And grandkids and...
And grandkids and nieces and nephews and cousins and you betcha.
So it becomes more of a family type of activity that way.
It really is. It's a family fun day, and we encourage people to come down and enjoy that aspect of it.
Does it make it difficult to get the thing kicking off on Monday because you've got other things going on Sunday, or does that just help open the gates
just
and get people through?
Just helps open the gates, gets people in, gets things going. Of course, our fair starts tomorrow, you might say, because some of the 4-H exhibits, the non-perishable type things, will actually start coming to the fairgrounds to be judged as early as tomorrow. So we're already starting with the fair. The official dates, you know, talk about Monday through Saturday, Sunday through Saturday, but we're already at it. There's already things happening.
And non-perishables aren't the food items and stuff. They're the,
right.
the
clothing and crafts and those types of things. Yep.
That you can judge. And when you get there, even, you know, first day, you can see who's blue ribbon and who's got the second place and third place.
You bet. You can, when you come in on Monday to start checking out the rest of the fairgrounds and things, a lot of those exhibits are already judged, already in place and setting in the 4-H and FFA building.
Are you getting a good response from the kids yet? I mean, all these years, and you know, and there's PlayStations and everything else and the kids get involved with, and they seem to get their whole days planned for them. Are they still planning for the fair?
It's interesting, you know, from a school standpoint, heavily involved with that, and we keep talking about there's less kids in the county, school enrollment's down, less kids out there. Our enrollment for the fair goes up every year. We have more and more kids involved with more projects. Our livestock buildings will be packed to the limits this year. We're bringing in more livestock, and we have more exhibits in the 4-H and FFA building. We actually have a few more adults bringing things into the open class. I think we have 20 or 25 adults that are registered and bringing in some open class things this year as well. So we have more people exhibiting more things at the fair this year.
Do the kids basically go through a group like FFA, 4-H, those type of things?
Almost all of the kids that are exhibiting at the fair are either a 4-H member or an FFA member. There are very few that aren't. We strongly encourage that. We have a very strong 4-H program in this county. We encourage the kids to get involved with that. They have a lot of activities and things that go on, not just for Fair Week, the preparation, the leadership, the other skills and activities they build. So it's really important that those kids get involved with that. It's a great aspect of it.
Now, kids bringing their livestock to the fair, are there things they've got to remember to bring? Because you have to make sure it's safe for all the livestock. There is no disease or anything like that. There's usually, you know, this should be done ahead of time,
sure.
But I mean, you know, you have paperwork you need to
bring
to make
those animals
sure?
Have already all been tagged and registered and paperwork done. We've done all our check on it to make sure. Our superintendents have been out doing some spot checking with the animals to help kids out. Kids that have had questions have checked with leaders and superintendents. Are my animals right? Are we going to make the right weights? And do we have the right tags and things in place? So that's all been going on for months to get prepared to make sure that when the kids come through the gate on Sunday, we have the best experience possible.
The last thing you want to hear is that, oh, I left that on the kitchen table.
But and that happens occasionally, and once in a while somebody runs back to the kitchen table and picks something up they need. But we'll work with them. That's not a problem.
And is that aspect up as well, besides the crafts? Are we getting more animals coming in?
Our livestock barns will be pretty close to full. We have more sheep. We're actually, Sunday morning, we're borrowing a few pens from Tuscola County to make sure we have room for the few additional sheep that we have. And currently, every hog pen in the barn will be full. The beef barns are full, nice number of dairy animals this year. Horse numbers will be up this year. So, looking great. We're excited.
And a way to help support the fair is usually near the end of the fair. Many of these animals are being sold for,
absolutely,
your freezer.
Absolutely. Come on out on Friday for the, junior livestock auction. Whether you're buying or enjoying the fact of sitting there, it's a very entertaining day. Even if you can't come and support the kids by buying, it's an entertaining day, a chance to see those champions and all the kids' animals go through and get sold. And it's basically, we talk about it as it's scholarship money for those kids. Our local businesses support that sale tremendously. We have one of the largest in the state, both number wise and dollar wise, and it's fabulous support for those kids. And when I talk with families and business people, we're talking about basically they're providing scholarship money for those kids for further education after high school.
Is it basically kids on the farm that can do this, or do other kids from less rural areas of our county find ways to
sure.
have an animal at the fair?
One of the reasons that our numbers keep going up is we have far less farm kids than we've ever had before, but our numbers keep going up. So we provide more opportunities for non-farm kids to get out and have that. You know, they work with the neighbor down the road and having a spot to have it, or a lot of our animals, you don't need a whole lot of housing to raise them for that period of time. You know, if you're not talking about the big steer and you're talking about the feeders, the sheep and the hogs, it doesn't take a whole lot of housing at home to be able to make that work. So most of the kids that are there are actually not farm kids.
Just make sure your property is zoned properly.
Zoned property,
or cattle in the city.
Or maybe that animal is at Uncle Bill's or something like that, mm-hmm. so you have that opportunity to work with somebody else, which is a good experience too.
But there are rules that you have to be the one taking care of this animal.
Correct.
and have to be able
Correct.
To document that,
yep.
because that's the whole point.
The whole point is that the kids raise their animal, they take care of it, they train it, they prepare it, and they bring it to the fair.
Is it hard for some of the kids to let go of the animal? Because my dad, bless his heart, he raised sheep for a few years, and then he couldn't take it anymore because they followed him around like a puppy dog, and it's like they walk out there and they're jumping up and down to see you, and it's like,
sure.
and then I have to take him in and get lamb chops out of him.
The young kids, the first year or two, some of them it's a little difficult for. Most of the kids, after they've done it for a few years, part of the training, part of what we go through is this is the livestock business. Those animals are raised for a food product. That's why we do that. And so they understand that. And yeah, they've worked with them and became involved, but they know. I had two sons that both put 10 years in showing hogs at the fair. And after the first year or two, people would say to them, well, isn't it hard? No, that's what it's all about.
But there are smaller animals that kids can
sure.
get into. There's like rabbits and cavies, which are like guinea pigs and
yep.
such. So there are, if you don't have the space or if
right.
you want something smaller,
goats,
that's
rabbits,
available.
Chickens, the cavies, the turkeys, the ducks. We have a small animal barn and a rabbit barn, and my understanding is those will be full. In fact, I think our rabbit barn is going to be maybe as full as it's ever been. I know we had to hire a second judge because we have so many rabbits this year, so...
Is that hard to find someone who can judge rabbits? I mean, it seems like it's a pretty specific skill.
It is specific skills, and that's a question that gets asked, you know, kind of regularly. Well, who do you get to do those judges? Most of our judges come from well out of the area. A number of them come from out of state. You don't just pick up a phone and, you know, 1-800 call a judge. You have to. There are sources, there are places, and a lot of our people
Sounds
are involved
like a
in other.
In the making to me,
it,
but
it
okay.
does. a lot of our people are involved in other shows, state level things, and that, and so they have contacts, so we're able to get judges for whatever we need.
And it sounds like it would be better to have judges from out of the area or out of the state than you don't have somebody
sure.
claiming that you're favoring your nephew here or whatever, type of thing.
We love to have people come in that don't necessarily know the families that well in that. And on top of that, they bring their expertise, you know. Someone who is in the industry and outside of our area brings a state or a national level expertise in, which is good for our families to understand.
Terrific. That's been a staple of the fair since, I think, day one.
Absolutely, you bet. As far back in the history as we can find, they have the livestock that's been there and the judging of those animals and all the different ones, and that's a fair tradition that has always been there and always will.
What are some of the things coming up that aren't traditions, that may become traditions that people can look forward to every year?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be every year or whatever, but we'll see what happens. We sure hope people are listening to the radio and hearing that Monday night the monster trucks are coming. We've got six of those big trucks coming in, and if you listen to the ads and things, they talk about them crushing cars and getting air as high as 30 feet in the air and wheelie stands and lots of things like that. And we really think that Monday night can be a real fun show. We've got a lot of interest in that.
Is that at the grandstand or in the parking parking lot.
That's at the grandstand. So all the cars in the parking lot should be safe that night. Down at the grandstands, and actually we have pre-ticket sales going on. Save $3 a person if you get your tickets in advance from any Fair Board member, or actually starting today, those are in the Fair Board office as well. So if you happen to be in Bad Axe and you want to slide through the fairgrounds and pick those up ahead of times, you actually save your $3 gate admission if you buy the monster truck tickets in advance.
And is it family friendly? Is it something you can take the kids to?
Absolutely. In fact, I've had a number of people talk to me about their little guy's really excited about going and seeing those great big trucks. The adult tickets are 12, and youth that are 12 and under are 6. So it is family friendly. We encourage the, you know, dad or mom and dad, bring the kids out. They'll love seeing those big trucks. And I understand that one of those big trucks is probably going to be parked in town on Sunday. So if you're in Bad Axe and cruising through on Sunday, I think at O'Reilly's, you're going to see one of the big monster trucks parked out there and a chance for some photo ops and things with that on Sunday if you're in town.
Flashing light at Watkins Place should be on Port Crescent. That's
should be.
About where it should be if you want to take a look after church or whatever.
Absolutely, you betcha. And then we've got one other new thing, and we'll see how this works and where we go in the future, but we've got a lumberjack show coming in Tuesday through Saturday. Tuesday, just one show, and then the rest of the week, there'll be two shows a day. They'll have big tanks set up that they'll be doing the log rolling and chainsaw competitions and a little bit of chainsaw carving of logs and a lot of different things. And that's a family-friendly, free activity on the fairgrounds. Between their shows, Wednesday through Saturday, the lumberjacks will be there and available to talk with the kids and explain and show things, and or adults that want pointers on using a chainsaw or those kinds of things, they'll be there.
And again, you mentioned this part is free.
That part is free, you betcha. We always try and have some free entertainment on the grounds, and that will be right up near the office. And we're excited about that. I just talked with Jamie yesterday, and they're going to roll in on Monday to get things set up, and should be a great show for the week.
I understand because of the anticipated crowds Monday for that event, you're moving up the Midway a little bit.
We are. Since the monster trucks are coming in and we have a number of things going, our Midway has agreed that they will open at 5 o'clock on Monday. Typically, we're Tuesday through Saturday, but the Midway will open on Monday. So if the weather's right or things are there or the timing, you're coming in for the monster trucks and you want to come a little early and go through the barns and use the Midway, it'll be open at 5. That truck show, monster trucks, start at 7:30, so you get that. Of course, if you're there early, the 4-H King and Queen and Bean Queen at 6 o'clock on Monday. So, you know, there's any time you come into the fairgrounds starting on Monday, we'll find something for you to do.
And I know the parents are going to wonder with Midway, is it the bracelet, you pay one price, or is that a special day of the week? And because they'd want to know which day to bring them if that's just one day a week.
Sure. We have Kids Day on Tuesday and Saturday, but it's bracelet pricing all week long. Pay one price to ride the rides all day long. They kick off on most days at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can come in at 3 o'clock, buy your bracelet, and ride those rides as long as you can take it or until they shut them down at dark. I know
they're
that,
probably color coded or something, so you can't wear it overnight. And
yeah, you won't wear it overnight for the next day. They're coded that way, but I know about one or two would be more than I could take. But those kids that want to ride them, come in at 3 o'clock, get that bracelet for one price, you ride the whole time.
And is there more to the Midway than just the rides? Are there the old-fashioned games that everybody kind of likes to get into a little bit?
Well, remember we have a new group coming in this year, TJ Schmidt. It's a change for us, and some new rides will be some different things, and they do bring some of their gaming and things with them, so there'll be some of the opportunities to play the games and do that. Of course, you know, young fella, you got to make sure that girlfriend gets her stuffed animal or that, so you'll have that opportunity to play the games and get that. And of course, for those of you who can't go to the fair without it, Gibby's Fries and Hot Dogs, they'll be there this year. We have our contract with them, and they'll be at their usual spot and providing that wonderful fair food.
And there's also other foods available at the fair. Usually the milk people have a thing for ice cream and milk. There's usually the Lions Club have their thing open. I mean, there's lots of places to get something to eat.
All those usual type things. In fact, as I was leaving the fairgrounds to come down here, Claire Finkbeiner with the Elkton Group was pulling in with their food stand in the process of getting that set up right now, right outside the grandstands. Everybody expects Claire to be there and have that set, and they're there, and our popcorn vendor and the ice cream from the dairy people, and all of those usual staples of things will be there on the grounds with that great fair food. And if you want the nice home-cooked type meal, Pat from Al's Restaurant up across from the fair office, she'll be back this year providing that. One little bit of a change, that Wednesday Senior Citizens Day, we have a new sponsor for the Senior Citizens Meal, the Wednesday night free chicken dinner sponsored by the Sure Family Network, and they're coming in, anybody 60 or older. Sorry, Craig. Anybody 60 or older?
Getting close. Don't knock it. It's a couple of years.
They can come down and get that free chicken dinner, and the Sure Family Network will have health screening and some other good things going on, and we'll have some free entertainment in the tent for those seniors that night as well.
And I understand, we've kind of had some warm weather here going on. I understand you were taking that into account, that if this stuff continues, you'll have a little place for people to find a break from it.
We are. We're working on a project, and I think I've got it just about all finalized, that we're going to have a Mr. Cooling Station on the fairgrounds. So if you're bringing the kids out, or if you're coming out and it's going to have this same weather we've been having, you know, that up in the upper 80s and 90s, and you're worried that, man, how do we take that heat? We will have a Mist Cooling Station on the edge of the midway. I think it's going to be up by the small animal barn, that will be providing a nice cool water mist to help people keep cooled out. We want to make sure that you enjoy the fair, even though it's hot, you enjoy it. And of course, as everybody keeps saying to me, Craig, fair week's coming. That means rain's coming, because it always rains fair week. And I'd love to say that I'm 100% set and sure on that, but either way, we'll be covered.
I was in Phoenix, and they had them on the sidewalks in front of businesses, the misting, and it lowers your temperature, feel like 10 degrees. It's a very effective system. You wouldn't think just a little bit of mist like that is going to do it.
A little mist can make a big difference, and that will be set up to help everybody at the fairgrounds.
Terrific. Other things you've got coming that you want to let them know about?
Well, of course, you know, the horse pull on Tuesday night, and the bump and runs coming in, and the...
Now, are there advanced tickets for any of these, or most of these are at the gate?
Most all of those are at the gate. The only one we're doing the advanced ticket for is the Monster Trucks on Monday, because we're really hoping we'd like to sell that place out. We'd like to go back to the days, those of you that remember when the JCs used to run their big demolition derbies on Saturday night. We're hoping Monday night's the same way. But the rest of the week, buy your ticket at the grandstands for the horse pull, the demolition, or the figure eight, the bullorama, and the truck pull and tractor pull.
You're just hoping next year you have to think about, where can we rent some bleachers?
I would love to have that. And frankly, you know, we say this too, and I was talking about it before. If you have an idea for something that you think's family friendly and that people would enjoy, grab a hold of a fair board member during the fair week and share those ideas. We want to bring in the kinds of things that the people say that'll be fun and exciting, and we'd love to do it.
The fair board members are pretty much out there that whole week. You'll find at least somebody in the office? Out and about, I would think, because you want to make sure everything is flying right.
You may not find a fair board member in the office too much, because we're pretty much on the grounds, but you'll see us all wandering around with our blue shirts on that say fair board member. And if you don't know who that is or whatever, if you're wandering through the barns and you ask somebody, they'll tell you right off who we are. We try to be as visible as we can, and most of the time we're on the go. You'll see us in our golf carts out and about taking care of activities and doing things, but grab one of us and give us ideas. We love to have that.
Is the Merchants Building still going?
Merchants Building still there and going.
Do you look for something particular in there? Is there like a theme, or do you just area merchants who want people coming to the fair to know what they have to offer, like rent space?
We rent space to virtually any group, business, organization that would like to have space and be there. We're struggling a little bit with some of the internet activities, and you know, you talk about the gaming things and the other activities are going. It's a little harder to fill that this year, but The Merchants Building will be open. We do have quite a number of vendors that will be there, and we have a couple of them that will be outside of that as well. So absolutely, it's there. Make sure you get in. Two or three new things in that building this year. I'll just maybe not share. Maybe I'll make you go check it out and see what's there.
You're such a tease.
Well, you know, I can't tell everything that's going. I want people to have to come and see a few things to get some new stuff.
You want that surprise on their face.
A little bit's nice.
Anything new structure-wise at the fair? Have you revamped some buildings, other things people might notice when they come in?
Well, you'll notice a few things. Actually, the state fairgrounds closed a few years ago, and we had an opportunity to go down and pick up a few things. So you will notice when you come to the fairgrounds this year that we have brand new ticket booths sitting there, compliments of the state fairgrounds, nice white buildings with red roofs that say tickets on them, and a little bit friendly and inviting, so that'll be new. And they're in the process, in fact, as we speak, of putting a cover over some bleachers at the horse arena, outside horse arena there, so that'll be covered and shaded. And no other new buildings, but we keep doing some things. You will notice the little difference down at the speed office for the horse racing. The old trailer's gone, and we've replaced that with a ticket booth and a little red barn there for some storage, so that looks a little bit different. But horse racing in the state of Michigan's tough right now. Thursday afternoon, we will still have harness racing at the fairgrounds. 1 o'clock that starts. We have, I think, 8 races on Thursday. There's not a whole lot going with harness racing or horse racing in the state of Michigan, but we are still able to get one day of it.
And is this like a circuit that these people go on? And Thursday they're in Huron County, Friday they might be at the Alpena Fair, this type of thing?
Who knows where they may be after that, but it is a circuit, and there are, I'm not a horse racing type person that follows that a lot, but we have, I think, what they call the bronze colt stakes that are in. And there are different levels with colts or fillies or different ages horses and that kind of thing. And there are some of the fairs and some of the different places around it. Yeah, like you say, they'll be with us on Thursday, maybe not Friday, but maybe it's Saturday there someplace else. And so people that follow it do know that they follow some of their favorite horses or that are in the racing. And Thursday afternoon will be the harness racing.
That is a... you know, sport that you need particular equipment for. You need somebody who can actually drive that little two-wheeled cart thing.
Sure.
And who isn't too heavy.
No, it's...
You don't want to tax the horse.
Right, right. They have their guidelines and stipulations on weights and sizes and things and the whole bit that goes with that. And those people spend a lot of time training and preparing those horses.
Do they just basically do it for the bragging rights, or do they end up with a trophy at the end of the year that they won the most races around the state or something?
There's a little bit of money in it. Nothing like there used to be years ago, but there still is some money there. They do it a lot for bragging rights. They may get a blanket for their horse that has the futurity or the colt stakes or that thing on it. And then, of course, at the end of the year, they have their banquets that they honor the horses that have done the best in the state and that kind of thing. And so it's kind of like with a lot of the other exhibiting things you do, bragging rights are big. And, of course, if you're in the horse racing business, if you have a horse that does well, breeding services and that kind of thing, or the value of the horse goes up. So
this seems kind of, you know, you're you know, praising the horse, which is basically the sporting equipment in there, as opposed to the rider, who, you know, it'd be like having a tennis banquet and, you know, praising the racket.
Well, sure. And the jockeys, I'm sure, get their recognition as well. Okay. But in the harness racing, even more so, it's the horse that gets more praise than the rider does.
Well, it's like the Kentucky Derby. You hear about the owners and
sure,
and the farm it comes from, as opposed to, yeah, and this guy's riding him.
Right, yeah. And occasionally you get a jockey that's really well-known. You know, Shoemaker's one that we all remember, but other than that, probably we can't name too many jockeys that are out there, and I could probably name quite a few of horses that were in the Kentucky Derby.
There you go. And... as you put together the fair, do you have to kind of think beyond 2012?
2013, 2014, we're already planning for the future. You know, we do contracts with amusement companies for 2, maybe 3 or 4 years in advance. We're already talking to the different events and things that we have going, you know, as far as that goes. Our livestock end, when those kids are rolling in with that animal, some of those kids are already talking about where will I get my next year's animal and what are the dates for tagging and that kind of thing. So always, you can't just, you know, yeah, the fair starts Sunday for us, but the 2013 fair is already in our minds and we're already doing planning, and that's one of the reasons why I ask people to give us ideas, because your idea may be 2 or 3 years out before we can even get to it.
And if people want to make their plans, I know you'd like to have them come every day, but if you want to check what's happening when, you do have a website.
We have a website. The Huron Community Fair website is out there.
I'm sure you Google Huron Community Fair
Google
and you'll
Huron
get there.
Google Huron Community Fair, you get there. Make sure you Google Huron Community Fair in Bad Axe, Michigan. There is a Huron County Fair in Ohio. And I don't want anybody thinking they've got to go to Ohio to go to the Huron Community Fair. I actually did get a phone call in the office yesterday from a lady in Ohio wondering what day the cheerleading competition was. So I had to make sure that I got her to the Ohio County or the Huron County Fair in Ohio, not Michigan. So
because I don't think you have a cheerleading.
We don't have a cheerleading competition that goes on at the fair. So,
but if that's something local people would like, they need to let the fair board know, because this is the way
you
get ideas from the local people as to what they would come for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whatever the people of this area think would get them to our fairgrounds to enjoy it and support the kids is what we're all about.
Is it difficult to get people thinking of the fair when we look at fields that are drying up and types of things? I mean, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
You're thinking, wow, okay, I can leave the field for a week and I'll go to the fair and have some fun. But
maybe
but this time, it's
maybe this
kind
year
of
it's the break, you know? We're a little bleak of what's going on at home. Let's go down to the fair. We'll put home aside for that day or two and we'll go have some fun at the fair and just kind of enjoy it and take our mind off it. It surprises me. It amazes me when you sit on the fair board and you go to the community and you say, you know, we could use some help with this, or can you help sponsor this, or we've got this. People in this county don't say no to the fair. Maybe they can't do quite as much as you'd like them do at times, but it is such a supporting community for the kids in the fair and everything that goes on. That, and I really want to thank everybody out there that does those kinds of things. We have businesses to no end that help make the fair work for everybody, and that's a huge part of it.
And a lot of credit has to go to the fair board, who thinks fair all year round.
Well,
because you guys have to, you know, take the heat if something isn't the way that people thought it should be, and take the glory when it is.
And that all comes with the job, you know, or the position, I guess I'll say. I do tease the fellow board members. They elected me president this year, and there's lots of time that my phone will ring at 4 o'clock as I'm leaving my day job, and I tell them I'm headed to my second full-time job at that point, because those of us on the board, it is important to us, and we do spend a lot of hours working at it because we love it.
It's a type of position you have to have the passion for, or you're just, you know,
sure,
going through the motions.
You betcha. Fair board members don't go on it for the, you know, for big bucks and glory. There's no money involved with it. In fact,
I imagine all the fair board members hearing that part right now is going, yeah.
Yeah, well, it costs us a fair amount of money to be fair board members, but we love it. We enjoy it. We absolutely love kids. That's what we're there for. Every one of those guys that are on that board and gals love the kids, love the community, and we're there doing those things because we want to support that.
Again, the fair starts Sunday.
You bet.
Indian Trails Riding Club Rodeo.
Yep.
And then the real kickoff for the actual fair itself is Monday.
Absolutely.
Do you have, like, judging Monday morning? Is that already starting it?
Judging, well, actually, as I said, some of the judging actually starts this week, but we will have...
as far as activities at the fair, you
activities
start
at the fair Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon.
The sheep show starts on Monday afternoon. There's horse shows that do start at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. So, yeah, you know, as early as 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday, we have judging and shows going on. Horse show on Monday, the sheep show on Monday. On Tuesdays, the hog show.
And some of that can be nice because you don't have the kids trying to pull you away to the midway because it isn't open yet. You can do the judging and get all of that going.
I look at it this way for people in the community. For $3 a person, you come down and spend the whole day at the fairgrounds if you want and get a chance to see the kids involved with that level of competition and those activities and from 9 o'clock in the morning right on through. And you're right. You don't have to go to the midway. There's all kinds of activities in the barns, and it's a neat opportunity. As I walk through the barns, people from across the county that maybe sit on a bench or sit on a bale of straw and chat with their neighbor about what's happening in their community or what's going on. It's a huge social activity too.
Are there etiquette rules in dealing with the horse barns and the pig barns and that? I mean, people are. Then it really don't always want you touching their animals, that type of thing. Do you need to use a little discretion in this type of thing?
We remind people that these are farm animals. They're not your pet at home, and use caution when you come through. Almost any time of the day from 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, there are kids in those barns and around that. And before you start getting too friendly with the animals, make sure you find somebody that's there. And oftentimes, if there's an exhibitor there and you want your child to have an opportunity to, feel what that animal feels like or pet it or that kind of thing, they'll gladly work with you and give you that opportunity. But please be careful. Horses, steers, those are big, 12, 13, 1400 pound animals, and they don't know what a 3 or 4 year old little guy is, and so you need to be careful of that.
Well, and anybody who's been on a farm knows they know the farmers. Strangers aren't always
the most welcome. That's right. And these animals, for the most part, are tame animals that have been worked with, but again, they don't know strangers, and strange sounds, strange smells, strange people can kind of set them off at times. So you need to be careful of that.
I was wondering, in a couple of past years you've had this program, and I don't know if you've given it a rest for a year or two or whatever. They had that, I don't know what they called it, Secret of Life or something, where the animals were ready to give birth. Is that back again?
Oh, absolutely. The Miracle of Life Tent.
That one.
Miracle of Life Tent will be back. Let's see. Kicks off, I think, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Local dairy farmer will bring in cows in that will have calves born. The eggs are in the incubator that will start hatching. We'll have a couple sows in with the baby pigs, and that tent will be open Thursday through Saturday with those activities going on for people to come in. Those of you who haven't had a chance to see the baby animals before, or an opportunity if you're there at the right time to see that calf born, pretty neat experience.
And again, these are mother animals, protective.
Right.
Use your discretion.
Stand back outside the gate. Don't put the hands inside because we have those signs there, stay off the gates and stay out because we don't want anybody dealing with a mother that's protecting her babies. But that is a fabulous opportunity for people to come in and see.
And can save you that whole explanation of where do babies come from, Dad?
Sure, that's right. That's right. Especially if something's being born at that time, you can sure explain that.
That's it.
Yep.
Let's go.
Wonderful.
Well, I appreciate you taking time today. Again, the fair starts Sunday with the Indian Riding Trails Rodeo, and then the actual fair itself Monday. And you've got that show Monday night you want to make sure everybody knows about.
Get to the Monster Trucks Monday night.
Tickets available at the fair office.
Fair board members or at the fair board office, either one.
And I hope you get a good turnout, and I hope everything works well, and we'll even cross our fingers on the weather.
Maybe we'll get a little rain shower a couple of nights to freshen things up. It's fair week.
Wash things off and be fresh and new for the morning.
You betcha.
I want to thank you for being with us, Clark.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate the opportunity to come in, and again, 144th Huron Community Fair. Come on out. Have a great time. Enjoy yourselves. The rest of us are going to.
Old favorites and new favorites to come to be had.
You bet.
I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.